Hey everybody, you're listening to Table Talks with New Directions, the Domestic Violence Shelter and Rape Crisis Center of Knox County. We hope that listening to this podcast gives you an inside look into the world of domestic and sexual violence. Throughout these episodes, you will hear from advocates, preventionists, community partners, and even from survivors themselves. Thanks for tuning in. Hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Table Talks. Today I have two very special guests with me. So I am actually going to just kind of throw it over to them to introduce themselves, tell you all a little bit about their role, and then we will go from there. So Lauren, if you would like to start.
Hi everyone, my name is Lauren and I am the Survivor Services Coordinator at New Directions. A little bit about my role, I supervise a couple of people who also work here and just really focus on all of the different ways that we can work with survivors and best support survivors in all capacities.
And I'm Tori, I'm the shelter advocate. A little bit about my role, I work specifically with clients who are fleeing domestic violence, sexual assault, or intimate partner violence. I bring survivors into shelter who are fleeing those types of situations, and I work with them on connecting them to different agencies in the area that they may be needing, and then I also provide support to them as well during their shelter stays.
All right, awesome. So this podcast is going to be released on Sunday, so before we kind of get into the swing of like Thanksgiving, you know, the holidays, I feel like always just like a quick domino effect. After Thanksgiving, it seems like they just constantly happen one after the other. So we figured we would do an episode talking about the holidays and kind of the impact of the holidays on domestic violence or sexual assault. So would either of you be able to kind of speak to, when it comes to maybe meetings with clients or hotline calls, generally, do we see a change in those things around the holiday season?
In my experience with working with survivors, I've noticed a decrease in calls or people fleeing around the holidays when it comes to domestic and intimate partner violence. And a lot of the time, I think this is because people want to like make it through the holidays, right? They don't want to uproot their family right before Christmas or whatever they're celebrating. And a lot of people, I think, have like more of an end goal to just, you know, get through the holidays. And then after the holidays, they might look at leaving. So in my experience, like I said, we receive more calls after the holidays. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to survivors of child sexual abuse, we do see an increase of calls during the holidays. And the difference is because a lot of people who've experienced child sexual abuse have experienced that from a family member or a close friend of the family who they don't see unless the family all gets together around the holidays. So that's the reason that we receive more calls from those types of survivors during the holiday season.
And are those generally calls like safety planning calls, just emotional support? Like, what do those calls, with what you can share, what do those calls generally look like?
For the child sexual abuse survivors, it's more of how can I get through the holidays if I have to be around this person? Mm-hmm. But it's more of emotional support than anything. Like, I've seen this person, or I know I'm going to see this person. I just need to get stuff off my chest and talk about it.
I mean, I don't think that I have seen a particular kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like an upspike in calls around the holidays. I think it's just kind of going in and out of different seasons of the year. And what people are needing when, that can always change. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this year might be different. It might be.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on. Depends on the year, depends on the season, probably depends on the person as well. So given, kind of going back to something you'd said, Lauren, you know, and I feel like everyone can attest to this, around the holidays, you are around people that maybe you don't see but once or twice a year. So what are some things that people should maybe be aware of, I guess, going into the holidays? Like, for example, tips on if somebody may suspect that maybe one of their family members is experiencing intimate partner violence, has maybe experienced sexual assault at the hands of a family member, or even child sexual abuse.
Do you mean, I'm sorry, like as a person outside of the...
Like it's kind of like a bystander. Got like it. Someone who maybe suspects that something is occurring or something has happened.
My advice would be to have a private conversation with that person. You don't ever want to have a conversation about what has happened or what maybe is going on in front of a lot of people, and read how they're responding. Like if they're not ready to talk about it, or if they're kind of standoffish about it, respect that. I would just say, like, let them know I'm here for you, and then plug them in with our agency. So all of our work that we do is free and confidential, and we have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline. So if you need support on Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever holiday you're celebrating, you can call us. We're going to be here for you. And that goes for people who are trying to help and trying to support also. So like if you have questions about how can I better support this person knowing that they've gone through this or they're going through this, definitely call us and we can walk you through that as well. So if it is an individual or family who's in imminent danger, I would definitely talk with them about a safety plan or what that could look like regarding shelter, and I'll pass that over to Tori to elaborate on.
Yeah, so there's different ways, like safety planning for shelter, finding, like obviously having a good support system, I think is so important for that. And especially too around the holidays, like families coming together. So if you know someone who is experiencing it, and like you can't be that support person for them and help kind of guide them to resources that they're needing, mm-hmm. That would be so helpful for that person experiencing the violence. I think the most important part though is like making sure that it'll be like a safe exit, and not talking about it like out loud, like Lauren said.
It makes sense, because obviously you wouldn't want, if that abuser is present, obviously you wouldn't want to create more harm or potentially a more dangerous situation for that person experiencing the violence. So I guess another question that I have, and I could see people maybe like having this question, is what should people be looking for? Or like, what are some things someone could notice in somebody that might indicate that maybe it is a domestic violence situation? I know probably every situation, every person is different. So there's no like textbook, this is exactly what to look for. But if we can offer maybe any, like even if it's a little bit of information about some potential warning signs, I think that could be helpful.
I'm thinking just off the top of my head, I mean, there's different types of abuse. So, I mean, starting off with like verbal and emotional, with families coming together, I mean, they're going to see more of it, and some people might not be aware of what that would look like. Like fighting and like verbal put downs, and
I would add maybe like isolation. If, for example, someone is constantly with their partner, like, you know, the partner won't let them leave their side or speaks for them or seems to be like really in control of every situation. And then also too, like if somebody is really wanting to like keep their distance from someone else, so maybe they're in the same room as someone that's harmed them before, really wanting that separation from them would be another thing to look for. But it all looks different. And I think an important thing to remember is go with your gut feeling. You know, ask again questions like when you're in a private setting, because the worst that could happen is you know, that person is going to get maybe a little annoyed with you for trying to pry, quote unquote, or ask questions about their personal life. But, you know, if something is going on, it could really be a game changer that they're showing that, hey, I'm here for you. I want to help you. I want to, you know, be a part of how we can get you to safety.
Yeah.
But yeah, it all looks different. And I think it's important also to keep in mind, like, that people who cause harm on other people are typically really charismatic and everybody likes them. They light up the room. They know how to read people. They make people laugh. So, you know, just be cognizant, I think, of that as well, so that you don't write it off right away. Like, oh, this person's so nice. That person could never hurt you, type of deal.
Exactly. And I mean, I think, and I mean, we see a lot of that kind of mindset in those schools.
Yeah.
Like, students will say, like, you know, they have this picture of what an abuser looks like, or the personality traits that this person has. Mm-hmm. And it's always a very interesting conversation when we say, like, oftentimes it's the exact opposite.
Right.
They're very well liked generally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. It makes it harder to believe.
Right.
If somebody were to say, hey, so and so is abusive in whatever capacity,
mm-hmm.
you know, people are left feeling like there's no way. Like, I feel like it's, and I mean I was guilty of feeling that way too, thinking that abusers were rude or offensive or, you know, intimidating,
mm-hmm.
when it's like I said, generally the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
So are we open during the holidays? So, like, Thanksgiving, for those that celebrate Christmas, would someone be able to access our services during those times if need be?
So our offices are closed on the major holidays, such as Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day. However, like I said, we have a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week hotline. And I'll plug that number in now. It's 740-397-HELP, which is 4357. So there will always be somebody available to answer calls.
Mm-hmm.
So we're technically, the offices are closed, but we're still here, if that makes sense.
Definitely. Always still serving survivors.
Yes.
That's for sure. And someone could call in and request to talk to Lauren or Tori as well,
mm-hmm.
If need be. But is there anything else either of you would like to add?
I want to do a quick plug-in. So we do have a healthy holiday support group happening right now. It is 6 weeks, so it's every Thursday from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. And that will go through until December 21st. And this is an open group, which means you can come to one and not come to another. Come to all of them, whatever that looks like for you. But if you have questions about the support group, definitely call our hotline. It's going to be at our offices, which is 212 North Main Street. And again, that's Thursdays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. You've got to be 18 years old, and we unfortunately don't have any way to provide childcare at this point in time. But if you need assistance or something, I don't know, we can probably try to figure something out just so that you're able to come.
And is there a cost associated with this support group?
Nope. Everything is free.
All right. Awesome. Well, as always, if anyone listening ever has any questions related to anything we've talked about in today's podcast or any podcasts in the past, or just unrelated to any podcasts and you just have questions, you all are always welcome to call our hotline number, which Lauren referenced. But thank you all for tuning in, and make sure to keep your eyes out for what New Directions has on social media. Thank you. Thank you.